Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So Dean, you had a... First of all, I know we were talking about postpartum depression, and you wanted to talk about your wife and the fact that this man, Mr. Yates, is standing by her. Is that correct? Okay, Dean, are you there? Dean?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, you wanted to comment on this man standing by his wife, even though she killed his five children.
Well, Phil, I think you have to stand by the woman you love. Postpartum depression is quite an adjustment for a gal. I told your screener that my wife, Candy, had murdered our daughter.
I heard about that. When was that?
Oh, that was a couple of years ago.
What did she do?
Well, she smothered her with one of our ties, one of my ties. My wife doesn't wear ties, but...
She strangled her with a tie?
Yeah, she was hoping the police would think it was me.
So she strangled your own daughter with one of your ties, hoping that she could hang this on you? That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, she betrayed you.
Well, I know she was depressed on account of, she had postpartum depression and she'd been injured in the incident.
Now, what incident was she injured in? Was she in the incident when?
When she killed my daughter, she was injured.
What happened?
She was injured in the struggle. She fought for her life. I'm sure you can understand that.
Now, how old was your daughter?
My daughter was 1 and a half, 18 months.
What struggle are you talking about?
Well, they wrestled onto the floor, and it was great. My wife claims that my daughter put up a fight, and when the police found my daughter, she had been rolled over near the closet. I had a .38 in the closet, and apparently the police told my wife, or my wife claims that my daughter was going for a gun.
18-month-old baby going for a .38? I don't think so. Your wife told you this?
Well, that's correct, yes.
This is the same woman who wanted to hang the murder of your daughter on you?
Well, Phil, I just felt I need to stand by her because she was going through postpartum depression on account of that. And
postpartum depression or nothing, man. This lady killed your daughter, strangled her with one of your ties in the hopes that the cops would blame it on you, then comes up with a story about how the kid was wrestling with her?
Well, my wife was bruised. Apparently they rolled down a couple of stairs, and my daughter's name was Catherine, and she tried to reach behind her and claw my wife's eyes out. Well, that didn't work. Apparently she was struggling. They struggled for a while with the gun, and there was a bullet fired into the ceiling.
Just think about this for a minute, okay?
Yes, sir.
18-year-old little girl struggling. How old was your wife?
My wife's 35.
35-year-old woman and an 18-month-old girl struggling over a .38. And how do you know the gun was fired?
Well, the police did find a slug in the ceiling.
Well, your wife could have fired that. So this is the story that she's given the cops?
All I know is she was injured. She apparently Catherine tried to claw her eyes. And
come on, man. Well, this isn't something out of Godfather. This isn't Luca Brasi getting it at a bar. Your daughter trying to claw at your wife's eyes. She's hanging this rap on you and came up with a cuckoo story about them wrestling over a gun.
Well, then how'd my wife get injured?
Could be self-injured. She could have done it to herself.
Well, but the police claim, according to my wife, that they did find Catherine reaching for the gun because it had fallen away from them, and they were both crawling toward the gun before apparently my wife got a hold of the tie and killed her.
So now you're telling me that your wife wants us to believe that she and your daughter were crawling toward the gun that had somehow gotten loose in their struggle, in their fight.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And she was able to kill the kid before the kid got to the gun.
That is correct. And if it's true, and I don't know, but if it's true, that also presupposes self-defense.
By who?
My wife.
Oh, come on. Look. Dean, your wife wasn't defending her own life. She's the one that started it. She put the tie around the kid's throat. The kid wrestles with her. They fall down some stairs. Listen to me. Now I'm even buying this stuff. They fall down some stairs, and then the kid tries to claw your wife's eyes out. It's bullcrap. Okay? She staged the whole thing. The question that I have for you...
Well, it's difficult for me not to believe Candy because I loved her, and I still love her. She's my wife.
The question I got for you is, why do you want to stand by a woman who tried to frame you for a murder rap? And I want to, hold on, I want to give our phone number, 1-800-449-8686. What man stands by a woman, even though she has postpartum depression, when she's trying to hang this murder rap on him?
Well, I think it's possible that my daughter Catherine is very strong. And
oh, get off of that kick, man. They didn't wrestle over a gun, okay? It just didn't happen.
All right, so you don't think that they had the gun and they were wrestling over it and the gun fired?
No, not 18-year-old kid, an 18-month-old kid and a 35-year-old woman wrestling over the gun and it fired?
Right. And somehow might have gone down and then shot somebody in the leg?
No, that didn't happen, man. That didn't happen. Now, why do you stand by your wife?
Well, Phil, I think you have to understand that postpartum depression, people understand it. They don't get how destructive it is. It's gotten so serious that my wife had taken out extra life insurance on her daughter.
In the event that she killed him?
Yeah.
Well, no insurance company's going to pay on that. And furthermore, Mr. Wheeler, your wife tried to hang this on you. I want to know how it is.
Phil, I've only got one wife.
How it is you can stand by her?
I've only got one wife. And the vows I took said a little something that maybe you remember, till death do us part, not until death of your daughter.
Well, what is postpartum depression anyway?
During a woman's pregnancy, okay.
Right.
She's the center of attention. She's always got people touching her belly and saying, oh, you're really beautiful. And we had a couple of really nice baby showers, and she was really beautiful. We took classes on parenting together. She's the center of attention. And after the baby's born, childbirth really... It really makes a woman look bad. She got all saggy. She had stretch marks, and she was all saggy. And she wasn't the center of attention anymore because she... And the child is born, and the child is crying.
Well, why do you kill the kid? I mean, so she's depressed that she's not the center of attention.
Well, you kill the kid, Phil, because it's revenge for her not holding up her part of the bargain.
For the kid?
For the kid not holding up her part of the bargain.
Her part of what bargain?
To make her the center of attention still, okay? The kid's born, and unless the kid is cute and cuddly, and everybody wants to talk to her, then everybody thinks she's ugly. And unfortunately, our daughter was, I mean, she was ugly. There's no getting around it. I mean, I loved her and everything, but I didn't know her that well. But she was really ugly. And
so in other words, your daughter didn't keep her part of the bargain by being cute and cuddly enough to make your wife the center of attention.
The center of attention that she had been while she was pregnant.
And so to take revenge on your daughter for not being cuddly enough...
She killed her.
She tries to strangle her with a tie. They wrestle over a gun, according to your wife. The gun discharges, but your wife's able to... I think your wife's full of crap, okay?
Well, this is a gal I love very much. She's a...
I don't know how. I think your wife is nuts. She tried to hang a murder rap on you. Tried to sell you some cockamamie story about how it was self-defense against the kid trying to shoot her. Do you ever miss your daughter?
Well, you bet I do, Phil, but she was just a kid. I didn't know her that long. Candy, on the other hand, I got to tell you, she was beautiful. She was my wife. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I ever had, and I had them all over the world when I was in the service, when I was out of town. And,
well, that's very nice.
Well, she was. Hell of a piece of ass, and she was my wife, and I stand by her. Because you have to understand, you give birth to a child, you think the child's going to come out cute, comes out looking all greasy and worn out, and looks like an old man been sucked through a straw. I mean, it's the most horrible thing.
Babies are not going to be the most cuddly thing when they're first out of the birth canal. You realize that?
Well, I know, but I mean, nobody ever told us. Everybody said baby's going to be cute, and then next thing we know, it looked like this thing's got sucked through a flavor straw. You know, so why not?
Sucked through a flavor straw.
Well, that's what it looked like.
Your own daughter.
Well, don't make me feel bad because I'm already bad. I feel bad enough.
How long is your wife going to be inside for?
Well, they said right now they've got 15 years.
15 years. 15 years your wife is going to be inside. Is she eligible for parole?
She'll be eligible for parole 2006.
2006. 1-800-449-8686. Here's the story of Dean Wheeler, whose daughter, I guess, wasn't cute enough, so the wife got depressed and killed her. That's it. And Dean stands by... Dean stands by his wife, even though she tried to hang the rap on Dean by trying to strangle the kid with one of his ties. This guy is a very loyal man, and the woman he was married to is the dumbest human being I ever heard of in my life. She stages some kind of a... She tries to tell the cops that she had to wrestle with the infant over a 38. The gun went off. She was afraid the kid was going to shoot her. She strangles the kid with one of her husband's ties so that maybe he'll take the rap. Obviously, there wasn't a jury on the planet Earth or anything in our solar system that was going to believe that. So now she's inside. Postpartum depression. Women suffer from it because they're no longer the center of attention, and the baby pops out looking like it was sucked through a flavor straw, according to Mr. Wheeler. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, you know, I think you have to understand that the fondest desire of any woman is to be on television. Women are always judged for their beauty, whether it's right or whether it's wrong.
Okay.
And the first thing you think about when you look good is, are you going to get on television, get on a soap opera or something like that? The closest most women will ever come to being on television is pregnancy, because they get the same kind of attention that you get when you get to go on Wheel of Fortune or a deal like that, you know.
Okay, I don't understand the analogy.
Well, the point is, though, that once you're not pregnant anymore, then nobody cares about you, and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to talk to you or rub your stomach, and so they get depressed.
And they take it out on the kid. The kid is killed because the kid's not getting any attention.
That's right. Most kids are supposed to be cuddly, cute, sweet, and you can punch, you know, stick your finger in their belly button, and they'll go, they'll giggle and everything. But this one didn't do that.
This kid that you're telling, which is your daughter, by the way.
I understand that.
I mean, the way you talk about it is like in the third person, like she's a thing. 1-800-449.
Well, I know she's not a thing, but my wife, I stand by my wife. She's a great piece of ass.
I got, you know, dude, quit talking about your wife as a piece of ass. Talk about your dead daughter and what your wife almost did to you, send you up the river for this. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, like I was saying a minute ago, I've got two of my daughters in the car. My wife and I have 11 children. Every one of them was wanted. Every one of them
you Catholic?
Is prized as our most prized possession. We have three sons and eight daughters. And to sit here and listen to this man, I'm just finding it so abhorrent that I'm just about ready to turn this thing off because it's sickening. Here on one hand,
what did I do? What did I do?
Okay, look.
What did I do?
Bud, let me tell you something.
I didn't do anything.
I have worked in psychiatric units. I'm a registered nurse, and I've worked in psychiatric units with people that I have never had.
Hey, Alec or Mike.
I have never had a patient.
Mike, I got to tell you, you got to turn your radio down, man, because we can hear it.
Sorry.
In the background.
About that.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
You didn't do nothing wrong.
No, I'm.
You're equating your wife as some type of a sex toy. And all of these justifiable reasons why your wife killed your daughter, you're talking about a precious little gift from God.
Right.
Well, to sit here and listen to you calmly talk about how your wife, who was brutalized by this 18-month-old child, man, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm a Christian, but I'll tell you, if I ever meet you, I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, Mike,
this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Gentlemen, let's if we can keep it off of that level.
Look, I didn't do anything wrong. All I did is stand by my wife.
But she killed your daughter and tried to hang it on you. You keep forgetting that. She strangled her with your tie. Now, I don't know who's dumber, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, Dean. Your wife or you? And
okay, I don't have to take that. I didn't do nothing wrong, and both of you guys are piling on me. Okay.
Well, how dumb can you be strangling a kid with a tie and then saying, oh, my husband must have done it, it was his tie, and then firing a gun into the ceiling and telling the cops she had to wrestle over the gun with the child?
Well, it's possible.
Can I ask a quick question here?
It's very possible.
How big was your daughter?
She was 18 months old.
Okay, 18 months old.
That's correct, yeah.
How much did she weigh?
Oh my goodness, I don't know. You know, more than
pounds. Okay, do you honestly think that anybody who's listening to this is going to even give you a glimmer of a hope to believe in this cock and bull story that you're giving forth here, that a precious little child was beating up your wife and it was a fight to the finish, her or the baby? Come on, man, listen to yourself.
Absolutely. That's what we're trying to say to you, Dean.
Well, you know, I was arrested. I spent 6 months in jail before the trial while my wife was free because I know my wife tried to frame me, but why would she lie?
Why would she lie? I don't know why she lied, but the fact is she lied.
Well, you don't think it's possible?
What?
Oh, my God.
No, I mean,
hey,
when the police...
I got to get out of here.
The police found her reaching for the gun.
Thanks a lot for taking my
call. She was reaching for the gun, Mike. Okay?
All right, well, that guy is... Your 18-month-old daughter had her arm outstretched, reaching for a .38.
It was either her or the kid.
1-800-449-8686. Alex, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, listen, I've heard that when you record something and then you play it back, you kind of realize how stupid you sound. I mean, maybe you ought to give this guy a tape of this conversation afterwards, because I swear, man, you know, an 18-month-year-old can't weigh more than, what, 30 pounds, maybe, if that, to be wrestling now over a gun. You know,
my wife told the police that.
Well, the cops didn't buy it, because guess who's in jail? The cops didn't buy the story.
Well,
neither would anybody else has got, you know, even a slight IQ, you know, above a retarded child.
Well, you know, she said that the kid had my wife, Candy, said that this kid had absolute murder in her eyes.
How old are you?
How old am I? I'm 32.
32 years old.
Yes, sir.
By the time you're 60 years old and your wife's piece of ass don't look that great anymore, you know, you're kind of going to realize that, damn, you know, I wish I had a child that was going to give me grandchildren.
Well, no, hold on. You're talking
my
about
wife strangled him off.
You're talking about my wife, okay? And
you're the guy that said she's the best piece of ass you ever had and, quote, you've had them all over the world.
Well, I have. Okay.
Your wife was selfish. She killed your child, and you're blind. I didn't realize that love. You know, I realized love makes people blind, but I didn't realize it made people dumbass.
Well, no, but you know, postpartum depression, sir, affects you know, 9 out of every 100 women, or 9 out of 10.
Right,
I don't know what it is.
Right.
But
I mean, you're serious now, right?
I'm serious that my wife's in jail, and I'm serious that
right.
I do stand by her. And by the way,
and
60,
serious?
And Margaret's 60, and she's a hot piece of ass too.
Can we get off who's a good piece of ass, please?
What?
Can we get off of that?
But look, my wife thought Catherine was... she told me she thought she was possessed by the Lord of the Underworld himself, and she struggled to the death.
Well, you know,
you mentioned the God, Luca Brasi and the Godfather. That's the kind of fight it was. Where the,
oh, yeah, right. Okay, now I got it. All right.
An 18-month-old
baby.
And by the way, Raquel Welch, 60 years old.
Right.
Can we get
right.
off the kick with the piece of ass already? That you're standing by her? All right, thanks. Thank you.
I don't understand how a man...
Hey, are you married? You stand
am
by your
I
wife?
Married?
Yeah.
Are you asking me?
Yes, sir.
No, not yet.
Okay, when you get married, the vow is, till death do you part.
Right.
All right?
Yeah, to death, you know, that by, yeah, great.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, my wife killed my you know, 18-month-year-old child because of selfishness. You know, I'll wait till she gets out of jail, and I'll kill her too.
What if the kid was trying to kill her?
An 18 month. It's like the cat was trying to kill me with a gun. Give me a break. You got to be kidding me.
Okay, I mean, you want to say it's impossible?
Do you take medication?
You want to tell me it's impossible?
Impossible
yeah,
what?
I will tell you it's impossible.
Do you want to say it's impossible? For what? What kind of medication?
Are you seeing a counselor?
About what?
That you believe an 18-month-old kid could kill?
No, he mentioned a cat.
Do you believe that?
Is he telling me it's impossible?
Do you believe a cat?
A cat does not have opposable fingers.
A monkey. There you go. A baby
All
monkey
right.
that just popped out of the womb grabs a .45 and is going to... I mean, you got to be kidding me, man.
Do you believe a monkey?
A monkey has an opposable digit.
Do you believe a monkey?
Does have an opposable digit. Yes, it does.
Okay.
But right out of the womb, a monkey ain't got the dexterity or the, you know, the eye-hand coordination to point a pistol at anybody.
All right,
you're trying to tell me that an 18-month is can know what a gun is.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Yeah, going back to Orlando tomorrow, my old stomping grounds, get the old Disney boat. Gonna go out, get on the old boat, throw a line over the side, pat around below decks, see if I can find something to eat. Look at, I'm making it sound like I'm on a tuna trawler. Making it sound like I'm going out on some charter, right? And it hit the old Disney boat off the old dock, take it on out there into the old brine. It's a cruise ship. It's got 8 million rooms. You won't even know you're on a ship. If you didn't see the ocean, you think you're just sitting in a hotel that's, you know, had a foundation problem of some kind, just sort of moving a little bit. It's all right. It's a huge, these ships are huge. You got to see this. You got to go across the causeway there in Miami, for instance. You go from Miami City toward Miami Beach, and you look at, is it Miami Beach? I don't know where the hell it is, but you're going over the causeway, and you look at the size of these ships, these cruise ships. It's an entire industry that completely passed me by in terms of its significance and in terms of its impact upon the consumer. I had no idea, because the only people that I ever knew who ever took cruises were 112 years old. And the radio station here in Los Angeles, KFI, when I was just working locally, they asked me if I wanted to do cruises as part of a promotional effort. And with all due respect to the very hardworking salespeople that pitched these ideas, I said, well, no, I'm not interested in that. Well, why not, Phil? I said, because I'm broadcasting to people that are still walking around, and you know, they don't wheel themselves places. Because the only people that are going to go on a cruise, I said, not knowing what the hell I was talking about, the only people that are going to go on a cruise are 612 years old. They're in a freaking sarcophagus. They're mummified. I mean, I hope that I'm broadcasting to an audience that maybe will push off their adult diaper considerations a few years, like they don't have to make that decision today. But maybe I'm wrong. And believe you me, in my life, and then you go over the causeway and you look at these ships, whew, enormous. And man, I didn't get it. So Maria took the kids on this cruise last year, and this Mickey Mouse boat they go out on, you know how they got that, you know, the big air horn that they blow? This thing does it to the tune of When You Wish Upon a Star. And then you get on the thing, and off you go. So I'll be going to Orlando to pick the boat. I guess we're going to stay overnight in the hotel, and then we're going to go to the boat Saturday. And, geez, Orlando, this is a whole other story, because I started my radio career there in 1973. This was my very first gig, was in Orlando. And it was nothing like it is now. Orlando 30 years ago was a wide spot in the road like you wouldn't. Well, some people say it still is, but now it's sort of straining between that Mayberry RFD and Hollywood thing. They aren't quite sure which way, and they're leaning toward Mayberry, but they're being pulled toward Hollywood. Or maybe it's the other way around. They're sort of leaning in the Hollywood direction, but their Mayberry roots are still calling them home. And I don't mean any disrespect. I lived there for like 5 years, worked on about 14 radio. I think I worked on every radio station in that town. Used to work on the old WORJ, and this was an album rock station in Orlando, and it was licensed to Mount Dora, and I don't know, because the studio we broadcast out of was a cement box in the middle of an orange grove. So when I went, I got the gig, and I interviewed for the gig at on like the street in the city, and they had offices, and they had production studios, and I'm talking to the program director. I go, this is really cool, you know. And said, little did I realize that the actual radio station where you broadcast from was not there. I had to drive 10 miles outside of town, down a dirt road where people had been sodomized in an orange grove someplace. Who knows what bodies were buried there? And it's just a cement bunker complex in the middle of nowhere with a big transmitter. pee stains on the floor. This is 1975, you have to understand. So there was drug use, there was urine stains, there were, one night a snake got loose inside the studio, a snake got loose inside where we broadcast from. And coffee cups that hadn't been cleaned for 30 years. 30 years, and you'd think Phil would take it upon himself to clean them? No. I just went ahead and kept pouring coffee into them. No, I'm kidding. Well, maybe one night, but... And especially if you'd bring an artist in for an interview, like the Marshall Tucker Band or Allman Brothers. Yeah, we had the Allmans in one time. They had no idea. Why'd you guys come in for an interview? Oh, sure, we're going to be doing a concert. Great. These guys got to drive out to, like, the Hitler's bunker. They're driving out to a vacant lot. They got their limousine pulling down a dirt road in a vacant lot to do this interview. So it was goofy. And now the town's changed, man. Now they have, you know, the broadcasting there's better and town's bigger. More violent. This guy, when I came into Florida for the very first time, this kid up at the little stand where they pour you orange juice and they say, "Welcome to Florida." He said, "Where are you going, sir?" I said, "I'm going to Miami." "I live in Orlando." "Yeah, a real toilet. Man, I'm getting out of here." I said, "You're kidding." "No, they're killing people left and right. They're carjacking you in the rich neighborhood. They're carjacking you. But you don't even do that in California, do they?" "Oh, I never heard of that." "Well, ha ha ha. You can't believe it. I'm getting the hell out. I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm moving up to Moose Jaw. I got to go to Saskatoon, something. I want to get just as lily white as I can get. Not that I got anything against the blacks, but, you know, Caribbean, that Carib African thing, it's bothering me." "Well, what are you doing working here at the welcome stand?" "Oh, I just got myself a little shot of OJ. I'm on my way out of town. I thought I'd just..." "Oh, you're not working here, really?" "Well, I was helping out." He's got his car outside, all the crap piled on top. He's leaving. Because Florida is unlike any other place in America. Florida is a free fire zone. It's a free enterprise zone. Florida, there's no state income tax in Florida. You can pretty much move to that state and do anything you want to do. Be anything you want to be. Wear any kind of clothing. They found a man dead on the back of a whale at SeaWorld. How does that happen? How did it occur? Nobody knows. It happened in Florida. And when you say it happened in Florida, well, that's all we need to say. A man dead on the back of a whale in a whale tank. How did he get in there? Why was he in there? Why wasn't he wearing clothes? That was the other part of that story that disturbed me probably more than anything else I heard about that story. A dead guy, whatever. One less bum, as far as I can, you know, can figure. In a whale tank? Well, okay, it's Florida. Anything's possible. Laying on the back of a whale? Well, I did read Moby Dick. I mean, you know. Nude? Nude! I had to deal with nude. That happened in Florida. And everybody goes there to party and sort of crap and then leave it to the inhabitants to clean it up. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. When I lived in Miami, God bless Miami, love that town, not a recycling program within hundreds of miles. They wouldn't know what to do with a freaking bottle. You throw it away. That's what you do. You throw it right in there with the Pampers, and you throw it in with the dog, with the cat crap. Nothing. They don't have the concept there. But I think that's one of the charms and the allures of living down there, or should I say visiting down there. When I was there, I just pretended like I was visiting for 5 years. It's really cool, but we're going to look forward to going to Orlando. Really nice town, beautiful town. And you think the local radio station down there might maybe send me a bottle of Don Julio Añejo? No. But maybe by mentioning it, they will. Maybe by mentioning it, they'll know to send it to my hotel. And if you'd like to know where I'm staying, you guys at the Orlando station, please call the following number. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm really happy to be interviewed today for a local Chatsworth High School newspaper, R.C. Collins. And, R.C., are you there?
Yeah, Mr. Hendry. Great show as always. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you are writing a column for, what is it, a summer school assignment?
I'm doing a summer school assignment.
Yeah, that's right. You're getting ready for your fall semester?
I'm getting ready for my fall.
You're repeating everything I'm saying. Are you doing a writing thing?
I'm doing something for our local newspaper, which is our high school paper. We want to interview you about what you do.
Okay, I'm very happy to, and Mike told me that that's what you wanted to do.
But I originally wanted to do a column about relationships.
All right, well, that's probably not exactly a column about relationships. You don't want to be talking to me then.
Well, I did want to talk to Dr. Lori, but you can't get through to her.
Dr. Lori.
The one who says go do something.
Dr. Laura says go do the right thing.
Go do the thing, yeah.
The one who says go do something. All right.
Dr. Lori.
Laura.
Laura.
Right. Okay, go ahead. Let's start the interview.
Okay. One of the things that I'm really interested in is why you've recently been coming out and talking about how you do your show and how come you do that. What?
Nothing. All right. The reason why I'm coming out and saying that I do all the character voices?
Yeah. Why you do?
Why I do? Are you in high school, man?
Yes, sir.
Why? What is this why I do? Do you go to school?
Yeah, but I do believe in using an economy of words.
Well, it doesn't take that many more words to say why do you do that as opposed to why you do.
It's just something that I like to do. I believe in the English language, but I don't believe in overusing it.
Well, you sound like you're illiterate. You don't sound like you got an education, okay? You sound like...
Look, Mr. Henry, I call you on account of I want to know how you do. You know, tell me.
If I'm going to be talking to you for the next 10 minutes about my show, I'd like to speak the English language. Is that all right?
You know one talk with me.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, you know want talk with me. All that bull crap by the boards, okay?
What if I just do it occasionally?
No, just give me the question, kid.
All right. One of the things that I want to know is how you do, why you do, I mean, why did you say how you do the show?
Why did I say why and how I do the show?
Yeah.
All right. I explain all the time on the air that I do all the guest voices and character voices because...
Why you do?
Why do I do that?
Why do you do that?
I do it because I believe that any show, any movie, any effort that takes a great deal of work, somebody must take credit for it.
What?
Are you hearing me, man, or are you still thinking about why you do and I know talk? I'm telling you that the reason why, we might have to get Bud in here to talk to this guy, right? The reason why I do that is so that I can let people know how the show is done so I can take some credit.
Yeah, but I mean, why?
I mean, I just told you why, because I do the show.
There's a lot of your fans out here, Mr. Henry, myself, Bill Kiesling, Chris Sorensen, Billy the Impaler. We all want to...
Who's Billy the Impaler?
Billy the Impaler and the Lawgiver.
These are fans of mine.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know who they are. Who's Billy the Impaler?
Well, I you don't know them.
No, I don't know. Billy the Impaler?
Yeah. He's part of a goth group that we're in. We're online with a group of other vampire groups in chat rooms.
Billy the Impaler is his name, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And who's the Lawgiver?
Well, the lawgiver's pissed off, I got to tell you. The fact that you're telling everybody how to do the show really pissed the Lawgiver off.
Well, I'm sorry that I pissed off the Lawgiver. What's the name of your group, kid?
Huh?
What's the name of your group?
Fellowship of the Blood.
Fellowship of the Blood. Is this a...
it's a spinoff of Brotherhood of the Cape, which was our goth group.
Are you in a vampire group and a goth group, huh?
Yeah.
Fellowship of the Blood. All right, go ahead.
Well, why did you do that?
I told you I want to take credit for how the show is done. Okay? I want to take credit for how we do the show so that people will understand.
I don't get it.
Oh, come on, man. Even I bet you the Lawgiver would understand if I was talking to him right now, or Billy the Impaler.
Well, Mr. Henry, I didn't call up your program to make you angry, and I certainly didn't call up for you to be angry. I'm trying to...
Well, it's those two distinct things, huh?
Yeah. I'm trying to find out why you have decided to throw back the curtain, as it will. Show people how the show is done, as opposed to allowing it to just unfold.
Because I'm tired of people sitting out there in Radio Land going, oh, well, he has actors. Oh, well, it's stupid. I mean, I don't understand what these people are doing. And all of these, you know, people, when they listen to the radio, don't really get it unless you tell them exactly what's going on. I found that out the hard way. Down through the years in my career, I realized that people don't get squat unless you lay the whole thing right out in front of them. Okay? And you don't want me to explain it, but you, by the same token, like to know what the show's about, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we do. We explain it so that everybody will know what the show's about.
Well, we don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry that you don't like it.
But I will print it in the paper.
What's the name of your paper?
The Chatsworth Bugle Examiner. What?
The Chatsworth Bugle Examiner.
You tell me people not too smart, right?
That's what I'm telling you. I guess the really smart people, though, read the Chatsworth Bugle Examiner.
Well, we just named it that because...
Yeah, Bugle Examiner.
Yeah, I just threw a bunch of words together.
Well, when you throw the wrong words together, man, now you got a magazine that sounds like it's a... or a newspaper that sounds like it's about musical instruments.
The Chatsworth...
Chatsworth Bugle Examiner sounds like something... if I owned a bugle, I'd buy... Are you nuts? Don't you understand?
No.
If you're going to name a newspaper, call it the Times, the Herald, something like that. What's...
Well, there's a paper back east called the Dayton Bugle.
And I suppose there's a paper called the San Francisco Examiner.
Yeah. And sometimes they merge, so it's like the Herald Examiner or the...
Or the Bugle Examiner.
Right.
I'm telling you, it's a bad name for... Did you merge with a paper called the Bugle or the Examiner?
No.
You just called it the Bugle Examiner.
On account of it sounds real.
Well, it sounds like you examine bugles.
No, we don't examine bugles. We don't...
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
There was a vote on the name, and it was a tie between Bugle and Examiner, so we just put them together.
All right, what else can I do for you?
Well, I also asked Mike if I could do for you some of my... run some lines from our school production this fall, our senior production.
Mike told me that you were in a play.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
Planet of the Apes, and we're gonna...
Wait a minute, you're doing Planet of the Apes on stage?
Yeah, it's a wonderful vehicle.
Planet of the Apes is a movie.
I know, but it's a wonderful vehicle for the stage.
That you got to be putting me on, man. That thing is coming out. That's never been a stage play.
I believe we can mount a wonderful production of Planet of the Apes.
On stage?
Yeah.
Okay, so what character do you play?
Well, I play Colonel George Taylor, who's the guy that got shot up into space and come down on the planet.
Right.
And the pivotal scene following the crash landing of the craft is when he's running away from the apes, and then the apes catch him.
Right.
So we take you now to Act 1, Scene 3. The apes have caught him.
Okay, here we go.
Get your paws off me, you ape! Sorry. You dirty ape!
I think it's get your paws off of me, you damn dirty ape.
Right, let me run it again.
Go ahead.
Can you cue me?
Cue you for what?
Cue me the first line.
Well, what's the line?
Get the human.
Get the human.
Get your paws off of me, you ape!
You damn dirty ape.
Line.
What am I doing here?
Line.
Get the human.
Get your paw off me, you ape!
Get your paws off of me, you damn dirty ape!
Yeah!
Well, what am I, in the play with you now? 1-800-449-8686.